Well, if you're staying in with the adults, I guess, if you'll turn in, whether it's the one you brought with you or the one in front of you in the pew, to Ephesians chapter 6. We're going to be looking at verses 10 through 20 again. A couple of weeks ago, we started this series on spiritual warfare. And basically what we're going to be doing throughout the next few weeks is coming back to this passage over and over again to see what it is to engage in spiritual warfare the way that the Lord directs us. And today, it's a good day to hear these truths. Again, I want to remind you that this is the Word of God. It is always applicable. It is always true. It is always good. And this is what the applicable, true, good Word of God has to say to us today from Ephesians 6. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of His might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the schemes of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the cosmic powers over this present darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God that you may be able to withstand in the evil day. And having done all, to stand firm. Stand, therefore, having fastened on the belt of truth and having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and as shoes for your feet, having put on the readiness given by the gospel of peace. In all circumstances, take up the shield of faith with which you can extinguish all the flaming darts of the evil one. And take the helmet of salvation and the Spirit, which is the Word of God, praying at all times in the Spirit with all prayer and supplication. To that end, keep alert with all perseverance, making supplication for all the saints and also for me, that words may be given to me in opening my mouth boldly to proclaim the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains, that I may declare it boldly as I ought to speak. Let's pray together. Father, just as Paul longed to be able to speak boldly the truth of the mystery of the gospel, I pray for me today that you would be my strength, that you would cause me to be confident not in myself, but in you and in the power of the Spirit to produce the fruit that you to produce. I don't want to trust in my own wisdom, my own strength. I want you, you and you alone, to be at work. So use this time in me and for these folks, and in fact for this entire community, that what you do in and through us will have a beautiful and wonderful impact for your world, that you would be glorified, that you would be praised, and that we would live for you. And this we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. I'm about to share with you the inner workings of the Mazel mind, so forgive me. I have this recurring dream. And usually in this dream, I'm in college, and it's exam time, and I realize that as I'm preparing for exams, there is this one class that I started at the beginning of the semester that for some reason I stopped going to. And now it's exam time. I don't remember where the class meets. I don't know the exam schedule. and I have not cracked a book for this class at all. And I realize, to my terror, my horror, that I haven't dropped the class either. So I'm scrambling around trying to figure out, how do I manage this situation where I have an exam coming and I am ill prepared? Anybody else ever have that dream, or is it just me? I see some nodding of heads, and so that makes me feel better, because I tell you, if you start psychoanalyzing this, you're going to get somewhere crazy. So that is crazy town. But I say that story because we can all think about an exam that we're ill prepared for and how horrible it is. Well, how much more is it a terrible thing for the church to be ill prepared to deal with spiritual warfare? And yet, we are. And it's not because Jesus isn't good enough. He's more than enough. And it's not because we don't have the resources. We do have the resources. A lot of times we're ill prepared for the spiritual battle because we don't realize that we're in a battle. We talked about this a couple of weeks ago. One of the biggest issues for the church is we feel like we're at peacetime when we should be living like we're at war. And the other reason that we are ill is because we want to engage the battle our way. Through political power, through force of will, through our ingenuity and creativity. Well, that leads us to be ill-prepared for what really awaits us. And Ephesians 6 has a lot to say about how we engage in spiritual warfare. And the reasons why we're doing this series, because I do believe that the church, not just Westminster, but the church in general, we don't know how to do this well. And every bit of what Paul says by the Holy Spirit in this passage is telling us we need to engage in spiritual warfare not our way, but God's way. And if you like to fill out outlines and that sort of thing, this is the first point. And if you don't like it, you can just listen. That's fine. But in order for us to engage in spiritual warfare God's way, which is what we want to do, in order for us to engage in spiritual warfare God's way, we start with our need to be strong in the Lord. We start with our need to be strong in the Lord. Not strong in ourselves, not in our own might, our own strength, but in the Lord Jesus. Take a look at verse 10 and following. Now, in the whole of Ephesians, and Ephesians is a beautiful book, and I'd love to go from chapter 1 all the way to chapter 6 to tell you, but I'm just going to say there's a lot of good things that are being said there. And then in a way of concluding the book, he says, finally, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Notice, Paul does not say, be strong, period. Be strong in your might. He says, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of His might. And you might say, well, what does that look like? How do I be strong? And we're going to get that some. But notice verse 11. He says, put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the schemes of the devil. Now, Lord willing, next week we're going to talk a little bit about knowing your enemy and knowing some of the schemes of the evil one. That's a little commercial for next week, hopefully. But notice what this is saying. If you want to be strong in the Lord, you put on God's armor. Not your own. You go to God and He gives you what you need to take a stand. You don't do it in your own strength, and your own ingenuity, your own creativity, your own way of thinking. No, we don't lean on our own understanding. We trust in Jesus because He is the Lord. And then in verse 13, if we miss the point, he repeats it. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God. Again, this is saying be strong in what God gives you, not in yourself, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand firm. You know what the implication there is? I'm going to try to make this as clear as I can. If we're not strong in the Lord and in the strength of His might, if we don't put on this whole armor of God that God gives us in the Lord Jesus Christ, we may not be able to withstand in the evil day. That's the clear implication of what Paul is saying here. In order to stand firm as a servant of the Lord Jesus Christ against the spiritual enemy, we have to be strong in the Lord. And you would say, okay, Stuart, I'm convinced. What does it take to be strong in the Lord? Well, to be strong in the Lord means at the very least, and I'm talking low shelf here, folks, at the very least, we recognize our significant weakness. To be strong in the Lord means, at the very least, that we recognize we are significantly weak. And then we continually rely on His, wait for it, superabundant. That's a nice word, isn't it? Superabundant power. In other words, and I mean, I'm putting this really low shelf. Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. Little ones to Him belong. They are weak, but He is strong. Do you believe that about yourself? That's the real issue here. We are a nation, a culture, a society where everything is telling us to be strong in and of ourselves, to be self-reliant, to be self-sufficient, to be all about me, in my strength, my power. You know, this week, I looked up, just out of curiosity, movies about bullies. Because that's a big theme in the schools today, particularly bullying. And one of the YouTube videos that popped up was all these scenes from different movies about the little guy standing up to a bully and knocking him out, or something along those lines. And we love those stories, don't we? We love it. Because we love to root for the underdog, something that's actually a good thing in some ways, but we also love it because we put ourselves in that picture and we think, I want to be strong enough to knock down the bad guy, the bully. The truth is, there is not one of us who is strong enough to knock down our real enemy. Not in and of ourselves. None of us are. It takes someone with super abundant power to defeat our enemy. And that's who we have in the Lord. The power to raise the dead. I'm assuming that most of you have gone to a cemetery at some point. How many of you have walked up to a grave and said, so-and-so, I'm out? Anybody? Why? Because you know you don't have the power to do it. And if you did, you might not want to see what comes out.
But our God has the power to raise the very dead. That's what we build the foundation of our faith on, is that Jesus did not stay dead. He rose from the dead, right? And if that's the kind of God we have, one who is able to take something that looked horrible, the very Son of God dying on a wooden piece of execution for us, and then we go, what just happened? But then he rises from the dead. And that's our God. He has the power to raise the dead. He has the power. Think about this. If you go back to Genesis, what do we read in chapter 1? When God speaks the entire world, the entire universe into existence, he just says, let there be, and there was. You know, I've tried that. It didn't go well. In fact, in this particular passage, I'm sorry, in this particular book in Ephesians, in chapter 3, Paul actually says that God has the power to do more than we could even imagine. More than we could ask of him. And I've said this many, many times, but I can tell you, I have a fairly creative mind. I can come up with some pretty spectacular things. And for this passage in Ephesians chapter 3, to tell me that God has the power to do more than I can even imagine, I can't imagine that. And yet there it is. That's the God that this passage tells us. Be strong in him. Not in yourself. And when you read that, you're thinking, why would any of us want to be strong in ourselves if we have that kind of God? A God who can raise the dead. A God who can speak the universe into existence. A God who can do more than we could even ask or imagine. It's foolishness for us to think, I've got this, when we should be relying on the strength of Jesus. And yet, isn't that what we do? Isn't that kind of what we do? We think Monday morning comes around and I've got this. I don't just put on the whole armor of God stuff. I don't need that. I just go to work, or I'm looking after my kids, or I go to school. I don't need this armor stuff that God's talking about. And let me tell you, when we think that way, we are falling into what this passage calls the schemes of the devil. It's one of his schemes. Because I want to tell you, the enemy would love nothing more than for us to be self-reliant and self-sufficient. Do you know that? The enemy would love nothing more than for us to be self-reliant and self-sufficient. This passage is pointing to us, be strong in the Lord, in the strength of His might. In other words, don't try to do it on your own. Don't be self-reliant. Don't be self-sufficient when it comes to this kind of battle. Okay, so here's my hurricane story, other than the steeple. In preparation for Hurricane Florence, we have a trampoline out back. And I was worried about what the wind, you know, that gentle breeze that came through, what it might do to my trampoline. And so we took off the net and we turned it completely over and we put stakes down in the ground to try to get down on the ground. Okay. Well, before we did all that, I thought, I'm going to turn that trampoline over all by myself. I don't need anybody to help me. All I got to do is go out there and get a good hold, put my back into it, you know, and then it'll just flip over. I think what I got out of that was a hurt back and a little bit of my pride hurt. And in fact, I had to call the whole family out, all five of us, and it was still hard for us to flip that thing over. That was me being trying to be self-reliant and self-sufficient, trying to do it my way, trying to be stronger than I really am. And that was about a trampoline. That's something that doesn't really matter. This is life or death stuff we're talking about when it comes to spiritual warfare. Why in the world would we want to engage with the enemy that wants to destroy us all by ourselves? You know, C.S. Lewis wrote a book called The Screwtape Letters, and many of you be familiar with it, some of you may not. If not, it is a book that is written from the perspective of a senior demon who writes to his nephew to give him advice on how to take care of Christians or people who are thinking about Christianity. And in one of the letters, and this is to me, this is powerful, this senior demon says, "What we want, if men become Christians at all, is to keep them in the state of mind I call Christianity and." Christianity and. And then he goes on and lists some things. Can I tell you what we in our culture put in that blank behind and? Christianity and I'm going to follow my heart. Christianity and I'm my own man, my own woman, my own person, and I'm going to make my way and do it my way. But Christianity, at least biblical Christianity, biblical faith, and self-reliance and self-sufficiency, they are diametrically opposed to each other. I mean, they are way on the other side. They're going different directions. As C.S. Lewis said in another writing that he had, relying on God has to begin all over again every day as if nothing had yet been done. I love that quote. Relying on God has to begin all over again, every day, as if nothing had yet been done. And it fits with this passage, because what this passage is saying is we put on the whole armor of God, and at night, maybe you take that armor off, and then you get up and you put it back on to go out to war. And then you come home and you take it off and you go to bed, and then you get back up and you do it all over again every single day. Now, we'll hopefully, Lord willing, we're going to talk about what it means to, quote unquote, put the whole armor on every day. But at the very beginning, it means recognizing our weakness. It's hard to admit you're weak. It just is. It's hard to admit that you are not what you would like to be. I have several superhero t-shirts that I like to wear. And one of them is a Superman shirt. You know, it has the S on the front. And I tell people that it's my ironic shirt. I'm wearing it ironically because I know that I am not Superman. But the truth is, I want to be. I want to be the hero. I want to be the one who's strong. I want to be the one who comes in on the white horse and sweeps people off their feet and takes them off into a glorious, happily ever after. That I want that to be me. But you know what? That is not me. And it never will be me, because that is reserved for Jesus. And if I want to be that hero, basically what I'm doing is I'm saying, I want to steal the spotlight from Jesus. I want to take his glory from him. Wouldn't it be better if I was to just say, Jesus, I'm weak. Jesus, I don't have what it takes. Jesus, I not only need you to save me, I need you to work in me and through me for the good of other people. Because if I take it all on myself, if I take it in my own hands, I'm going to make a mess of it. That's humbling. Are you at a place where you can say something along those lines? Instead of saying, I got this, saying, I don't got this. I know that's terrible grammar, but it's true. Weak, and he is strong. But even though we are weak in and of ourselves, we can stand firm. We can stand firm in our spiritual battles because of the power and authority of King Jesus. This is not one of those sermons where we say, oh, we're so weak and we just need to like sit back and watch Jesus everything and we don't get involved at all. No, that's not what this message is about. This message is, yes, you are weak. Yes, I am weak. Yes, we all are weak. But here's the truth. We can stand firm against the enemy. Why? Because of Jesus. And because of his power. Some of you may have watched this little movie called The Lion King. And in that movie, it's an animated film from a few years ago. You may have heard of it. There's this one place where Simba is trapped by some hyenas. It's one of my favorite scenes, actually, from this movie. Simba is trapped by some hyenas. And Simba, if you don't know, is a lion, a young lion. And these hyenas are coming to eat Simba. And he tries to roar to scare them off. And, you know, it sounds like a little kitten roar. It's pathetic. And the hyenas, they just laugh at him. And they keep coming closer. And then Simba opens his mouth to roar one more time, and there's this huge, terrifying roar. Like that, and the hyenas run off. Yes, exactly. And Simba thinks, I did that. Wow! Until he turns around and notices that his father, Mufasa, is behind him. That's what this passage is talking about. It's not our roar or our feet or our strength or any of those things that will make the enemy flee. It's Jesus. The one who died and rose from the dead. The one who conquered sin, death, the devil, the grave. The one in whom we are more than conquerors. Not because we are conquerors, but because he's the conqueror and we're in him. We're united to him. We're connected to him. And that's why in Romans 8 we can read that life, death, angels, rulers, things that are present, things that are future, height, depth, anything in all creation, nothing can separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus. It's not because we're great, not because we're powerful, because when Jesus, the true lion, roars, the enemy has nothing else to do but to flee. And we're connected to him. My question to all of you is, do you believe that? Do you believe that all these things that we're saying, they're really true? If so, why would any of us want to leave this place thinking, I've got this? And we say, I don't got this, but Jesus does. And in Him, I can stand firm. I can withstand the evil day. I can trust Him. So by the work of the Spirit, let's admit our weaknesses. Let's admit them. Let's put them on the table and admit them. And rely on the strength of Jesus. And know the sustaining power of our Father as we face the battles before us. And we can do that because of who Jesus is and what He's done for us. Let's pray. Father, help everyone in this room and everyone who hears this message, for all of us, myself included, to admit where we are weak, to admit our weaknesses, and to admit that though we are weak, You are strong. And we rely on Your strength. We trust in Your power. We look forward to seeing how You're going to work by Your Spirit to help us stand. And we are thankful for that sustaining power that You give us, the power that raises from the dead, the power that speaks life into existence, the power to do more than we could ask or imagine. Work that power in us today in significant ways so that we will see that in our weakness, Your strength really is made perfect. Help us in this. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.